You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You've worked hard for what you have, your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly one in four consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.
I will be damned if the same politicians who refused to act then are going to try to come back today.
The real content of any kind of revolutionary thrust lies in the principles and the goals that you're striving for.
When the powerful use their position to bully others, we all lose.
A system of justice will be the richer for diversity of background and experience.
She's a woman! And correction. Hello, everybody. It's me, Miss Cracker. I'm here with my co-pilot, Caitlin. And it's time for She's a Woman. It's a podcast for every human being who looks into the mirror and says, "She's a woman!" And for the people who love them. Every week, we talk to incredible women of all kinds from all walks of life. Whether we have a head cold or it's storming or we're depressed, it doesn't matter. We still do it. And we invite them to share their stories with you, our incredible listeners. And that's exactly what we're going to do today, Crates.
I just yawned. I just yawned
and here we are enjoying life. Caitlin, we just went through the craziest storm.
We did.
Imaginable. You just sent me a tweet. Can you tell me what's going on in that tweet?
Well, here in New York, like, a bunch of our subway stations are flooded to shenanigans.
To shenanigans, Caitlin.
And people there's these crazy videos of people just wading their way through the water to take the train.
That's crazy.
I mean, I guess I'm lucky that I can just sit at home during it. But
right.
I'm like,
some people are like, I can't take an Uber. Right. I have to go to work. So here I go to work with wet pants.
It's crazy.
We were going to have a dinner with Stella Artois last night, but yeah, it was canceled by the storm because it's outdoors.
Yeah, and we got that email in the morning, and I was like, what is Storm Elsa? What are they even talking about?
Because it was a nice, sunny day at that time.
And then around like 2 p.m., it started happening. It was very loud thunder.
Yeah.
It felt like the lightning was right outside my window.
It was a dark and stormy night.
Yeah, at 2 in the afternoon or whatever.
Anyway, I want to dive right into our serious, groundbreaking interview, but first, I have a little treat for you. Every week, we do a little segment called Here's the Good News, where we share positive stories torn from the headlines. The idea is that they'll bring you, our listeners, a little hope during these difficult times, and this week, our news is all about Bounty. Now, this story is from you, Caitlin. But I'm going to start by saying, when I was a kid, I used to work as a bag boy at a major grocery store on the West Coast, the QFC, Quality Food Center, for all our Washington listeners. And I remember that I was always struck by how much food went into the garbage. If there were packages that were damaged or had labels that had slipped off, even if the food was still good, it would go right into the trash. And as I recall, you couldn't even take it home with you as an employee. You just had to let it go. And I remember thinking how crazy that was because there are so many families that don't have enough to eat, mine being one of them. Well, that's changing, at least here in New York. So, okay, here's the good news. According to nycfoodpolicy.org, starting this summer, supermarkets and grocery stores will be required to donate food to nonprofit or religious organizations such as food banks and pantries and soup kitchens that provide free food to the hungry. The food must be safe for consumption, but not sold by the stores because of labeling, appearance, or surplus. That means that at least some of the waste will be reduced, and that's a huge thing. So here's why it's important. And I didn't know a lot of these facts, which is very interesting to me. Food insecurity affected more than 50 million Americans in 2020, an increase of 13 million since 2018. By the way, there's only 300 million Americans or so. So if 50 million of them were suffering with food insecurity, that's a lot. Much of the increase was due to job losses and the economic downturn resulting from COVID-19. In July 2020, almost one-third of New Yorkers reported not having enough food to eat, and 11% reported accessing free food from distribution sites such as food pantries and schools. Without these sites, there would likely be even more New Yorkers struggling with food insecurity. These sites rely on donations because most are nonprofit organizations with minimal budgets for purchases. To add to all of that, between 30 and 40% of all food in the United States is wasted. Eliminating food waste worldwide could feed 2 billion people, more than double the number of individuals who are currently experiencing hunger. So requiring stores to donate excess food to local distribution sites will help change that just a little bit right here in New York City, decreasing a very serious global problem in just one place. But what I'm hoping is that, you know, New York City is a leader in so many things and an example to so many other cities. So maybe we will lead the way in making other cities do the same thing.
It's so crazy to think that, like, if a label is messed up on a can or something, they just throw it in the garbage.
Right.
That seems so insane.
Yeah,
That's so much good food.
Right. People don't want it, you know. They don't want it because the package is messed up and they assume, oh, the food is bad inside,
oh
you know.
Oh, my gosh.
And so they just toss it away.
You should put another label on it and be like, hey, the food is good in here.
The food is fine.
I know.
Or, like, reduce the price by 15% or something like that.
Yeah.
But that's not what they do. And I also worked at a pet store, and we fed a lot of, like, human food, like carrots and yogurt and stuff like that to the animals. And a lot of that would just go in the trash in massive amounts. There's so many places where
so
food
crazy.
And restaurants.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, where just all of that goes out the window.
Yeah.
Into the dumpster. So, I don't know. I think that it's so important that we figure out a way.
Because there is so many people that need food. Yeah.
Yeah. An insane amount of people. 50 million people in America out of 300 million. Well, everybody, that's our good news for today. But now we're going to take a little break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, we're back. Now, before we continue, Kraitlin, let me say this. If you enjoy your time with us today, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. We love reviews, and we got a couple of them recently, so we're extremely excited about them. In fact, we're so excited that we're going to read some of our favorite reviews right here on the show at the end of the podcast. So stay tuned for that, and if you haven't already, submit a review. Damn it. We want to hear from you.
But excuse our language.
Excuse our language, yeah. But having said that, my children, now it is time for our interview. And Kaitlin, I'm a hardworking lady. I brought this.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. I have this neighbor, Dan, who is a safari guy. He works with the Bronx Zoo, and he's always out on safari in East Africa. And he told me about this organization that was run by women. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is a perfect thing for our podcast.
Does he know that you have a woman podcast?
No, we were just talking about it. So I was just like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. We're going to get in touch with her. And she got back to us right away. Yeah. So I'm really excited to talk about what she does, because what she does not only supports women, it supports the environment and all of the beautiful creatures of African wildlife. So
this is a very pro-environment episode we're having today.
Right? Pro-environment and pro-people at the same time, Sophia Lee.
That's right. We learn things.
Yeah, we learn. Yeah. So here we go. Let's dive in. So everybody, Sophie Agostino is CEO of Matriarch Hill Safari in Tanzania, an organization that allows travelers to discover wildlife, culture, and fun with a locally owned company that takes cues from the oldest and wisest female, the matriarch elephant. The organization not only offers top-notch adventures, but works to preserve the wildness of Africa and empower the women who protect and serve this magical place. It has programs that allow you to experience the breathtaking beauty of the country, meet local women and make a difference in their lives through Give a Heart to Africa, and build friendship, camaraderie, and confidence with some of the first women guides in Africa. So, Sophie, I want to say thank you for being on the podcast and welcome.
Thank you. I'm honored to be part of your program.
Of course. Now, where are you right now?
Right now, I'm in Tanzania, specifically in Kilimanjaro. Mm-hmm. Close Mount Kilimanjaro, the highest mountain in Africa. So welcome.
Thank you. Looking through the material about Matriarch Hill Safari, I really believe that I have to go on an expedition with you at some point, because everything that I saw was so breathtakingly beautiful.
Indeed, you need to experience this majestic place. It's not only about the beauty of the country, but the people who are giving this beauty to the clients.
What's the difference between a classic expedition and a regular expedition? Because one is more expensive, but it seems like they're both on the same amount of nights out on safari.
All right. So the classic and the regular trip expedition, the difference is kind of the accommodation we offer. We go with the classic, you got like your private room, which has bathroom inside. You got like the setting of sofas around you. But when you go with the regular one, is a basic camping. You overnight inside the tent.
Yeah. So, but both are kind of great in their own way, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yes, because every client has their own way of experiencing the nature. Like others, they want to go for camping. Others, they want to go like something more than camping. So when our clients came in, we were like, hey, which kind of experience do you really want? We got camping. We got like luxurious way. We got the middle one, which is classic. So according to our clients, we plan the trip how they want it to be.
I wanted to ask you really quick before we begin. We just went through a terrible pandemic and so many people were unable to travel. And I wonder, how was it for Matriarch Hill Safari as you were trying to survive during this time?
Honestly, things was hard for everyone, as we depend on travelers, like tourists, and everything was shut down because of the pandemic. So as for now, people are trying to travel again. So we are getting a bit of inquiries for like the high season, like which is starting in July and for next year. But really in 2020, things was really bad and hard. So with my crew, we sit and discuss what we can do while we are waiting for travel to come back. And we start producing like handmade product made out of Maasai blankets and African fabric. That was the way we survived.
Right. I know that you, as part of your program, also provide arts and crafts and other creations from local artists and creators. So you just increased that during your time in COVID?
Yes. So all of our clients, like, we are a small company, like locally owned and small company. So most of the time I spend my time with my clients. We become friends. They come as a client, they live as a friend. So during the COVID, I say, guys, look, everything is hard down here. And this is what I'm doing right now to keep my life going on. And other women, we are creating like apron, table runners, pillowcases. And then they supported us like buying our own handmade products from Matriarch, and we try to distribute whatever we get.
So people can go to matriarchhillsafari.com if they want to support you by buying those products?
Yes, they can send me an email through matriarchhillsafari.com, and also they can look on our social network.
Now that everything is opening up and people are looking for adventure again, what's changing? What are you looking forward to most right now?
To most right now, we are welcoming clients to visit Tanzania. Most of the time, most of the people had a vaccine. And actually, my country is waiting to welcome the clients. So we have all the precautions down here about being against COVID, like we really apply all of the procedures at the airport, in our lodges. And yeah, we are looking forward to welcome the clients to experience the nature, because nature is the medicine.
I wonder, why is July the high season?
So in Tanzania, we have two seasons. Not apart from tourism, we have rainy season and dry season. And during the rainy season, the option while you are doing game drive is really limited, because all of our national park is not paved, so it's mud. And it's just not comfortable to go everywhere we want to go. And from July is dry season in Tanzania. So you can drive wherever you want. You can go far to experience the landscape, the wildlife. That's why from July is a high season. But again, let's say if you look in our 5 days classic safari day, Serengeti, we all heard about Serengeti, about the great migration. This time of the year is time where wildebeest are crossing the Mara River. It's beautiful to experience this amazing breathtaking movement of animals. So that's why we say July is the best time, from July to October.
I swear, next year in July, we're going to come and see you. Because it's so, what you do is so amazing. Now, I love talking about Matriarch, but I want to ask you a little bit about yourself. Can you tell me where you grew up and what you were like growing up?
Wow. Really, it's a beautiful question to ask, to know me more than our matriarch. So I grew up in a humble family, a village called Manyara. It's 8 hours drive from Moshi, and we are seven. So I have 5 siblings, and I got my 2 parents. It was a humble beginning because I grown up in a society where a girl doesn't deserve education than a man, but my mom fighted so hard for me to get my education. And I saw how hard she was fighting for me to have education. Not like really, it's a humble, it's not the best way, but she struggled the best. And
yeah,
I had my father was, he was there, but my mom, she was a strong woman. I can say is the Sophie that I see today. The Sophie that overcome all of the obstacles, even if I'm educated. I got my education, very good education from the best college in Africa. And still I find obstacles from some men, but imagine my mom, she was not educated, but she fighted for me to have my education because you know why? My mom, she got chances to study the university, but her father said no to her because she's a woman. She's just a girl. And my mom wanted to have a girl that she can study in order to, that's a bit of myself and the reason, the power, the energy I got from my mother. Yes.
Now you would go on to support other women in empowering them like your mother empowered you. When did you first realize you had a deep interest in wildlife?
This started first, I was in primary school. We had a class trip to Ngorongoro. It was my first time to see a Tanzanian can guide clients through wildlife. And I was like shocked. I asked a lot of questions. And that time is the time I got interest. But it was too hard. It was full of darkness for me to study. I grown up in a very small village, no exposure. So it was hard. But luckily in 2014, I started studying wildlife college. And it was life-changing college. And I'm living my dream. Like, this is what I love. And I cannot ask the better job than what I have, like, meeting new people every day, changing the ideas about life, about whatever going on in the world, and witnessing the beauty of nature and wildlife, really. It's a beautiful job. It's a wonderful career I have.
You joined the College of African Wildlife Management, and I wanted to know that what do you learn there? What are the things that you study there in order to prepare for what you do now?
Right. The college itself, it's set up in wildlife protection. In the college, they offer two courses, which is wildlife management and wildlife tourism. So you can choose, you want to base in wildlife protection, like being a park ranger or the national park, or you can be aimed to be a safari guide, to be a marketing personnel, to be a business owner in the tourism industry. So I know my character. My character is meeting new people, experiencing your life through story. And that make me to choose tourism.
Okay.
And from there, I start learning about wildlife itself, about national park, behavior of wildlife, plus the community around them, and creating packages, the tourism laws. And that is why I end up having matriarchal safari.
So you began your career in wildlife tourism about 7 years ago now, and you were offering day trips to volunteer groups that were visiting the Moshi and Arusha area. Can you tell me about what it was like when you were first starting out?
My first job after I left my village was a waitress. So I worked in the hotel industry. I got the customer care through hotel management experience. And then when I was studying my college, it was not easy to find international travelers because I didn't have any connection. And what else can I do? I started offering these day trips to volunteers who are in Tanzania. It was a bit hard to find them, but I wrote the posters around and people start calling me, hey, Sophia, I want to go to the waterfall. Can you get me? And I was a student, so I need to balance my time between what I can do to school and in my personal life of guiding. It went well. It really went well. And it gave me the exposure to organize the multiple trips. And that guided me to more of 5 days safari, 2 days, 15 days until today.
Okay, Sophie, we're going to continue with your story in just a minute, but first we're going to take a little break. Okay, now we're back. So, Sophie, in 2017, you founded Matriarch Hill Safari. Can you tell me about how the idea came about and what you wanted to do?
Honestly speaking, the idea, it was, you know what, when I was studying, my dream was, oh, I will be employed to the big companies. I studied from the best college. I can get a job and it will be easy. And after my college, was all of the thought I had was unrealistic because I didn't have a job. Not because I was not good, but because I'm a woman, I cannot be a guide. Of course, I guided a few day trips before, but no one really witnessed that. I got like from the city and few NGOs that knows me, and tour companies didn't. So I was, what can I do? What next? And I just realized and say, Sophie, look, I have overcome a lot. I can do this. Focus on matriarch. And that is how it became the reality. I didn't have a job. And I had one chance. It was not what I dreamed because other guides were like not appreciating me to be part of the team and to show who I am. Like, I don't want to live a fake life of like, oh, you know what? I just need to be behind the carpet and you guys can do whatever you want. No, I want men to hear my voice, to hear what I have, to be part of the team, to make decision as a team, but it was not happening. And I said, Sophie, look, you can create this business. You are not only going to help yourself and your family, but other women. In Tanzania now, I am quite a good example of young girls who are empowering other women through tourism. And I really touched different life of young girls who are studying and who are not educated, because through guiding, I employ people who are educated. And through hand product items, I employ women who have no education. So I said, Sophie, you can be part of this, like helping different people. And again, I going to Kilimanjaro, Mount Kilimanjaro, all of my porters are really uneducated. They didn't have chances to study for any reason in life, but I'm giving them the chance. So it's really a portray of my mom empowered me, and now I'm empowering other people. And that is the reason in life.
How does it feel? Because you employ only women on safari tours. How does it feel to work with a team of women versus with a team of men?
It is. It's a new thing in the travel industry. Really, we have a lot of women who are studying tourism, but not living their dream because they study and stay in the office being a reservation or being a supplier manager, something like that. And now I'm telling them, no, you can do this. You can be a guide. I am guiding. And you, look, I can do this. You can do it. So the big part is to empower is something else, but to inspire them. Like, you can do this. Let's do it. And it's a living example. So to have that time and to give the energy to them and, you know, to like, yeah, for men, it's their job, it's their career. They feel off. It's what we have. It's us. It's ours. So for women, it's a bit of like, oh, where can I sleep? How can I be in a group of men? How it look like to lead a man, to lead men or to make decision. But I am young. I tell them, you look, it's possible. I am living it. I'm doing it. Come on, yeah. Let's do this. So it has been a bit challenge, but not too much because I love what I'm doing. If I don't love it, it could be like, oh my goodness, this is like too much. But I love what I'm doing and I'm enjoying my career. That is what makes me happier and positive all the time. When I meet them, we talk, we change ideas, and I don't see like, oh, it's a new thing. It's hard. It takes a lot of my energy. And no, I really enjoy giving them positive energy and changing their minds. Like, we can do this. Let's go.
Yeah. It sounds like you're able to work much more as a team. When you are a group of women, you can exchange ideas and make decisions together instead of being put on the sidelines as you were when you were working with men.
Yeah.
Now, I think I read that something like a fifth of all wildlife in Africa lives around Tanzania. And I wonder, how does Matriarch Hill Safari work to preserve Tanzania's wildlife?
Number one, we believe that the people are the one who destroy the wildlife. So Matriarch Hill Safari is working with a local NGO that deals with young ones, like a primary school kids, about protection of wildlife. They are living close to national park, and we are telling them the importance of wildlife, because if it started with them, we are creating the better future. And again, we don't, if we come with a normal life, we don't go against the laws that government put, and really, wildlife is our heart. So we really care about them, and we don't do things like, oh, the government doesn't see, I go behind and all that, no.
Can you talk more about your connection to arts and crafts a little bit? We talked about this a little bit earlier, but you work with women who are artisans and creators and help connect them with travelers. And how did that begin?
So it began in 2014 when I met one woman. She's from LA, and she was working with Give Her to Africa. And Give Her to Africa, they are supporting women who, for some reason, they're single mamas and they don't have education. So they're teaching them how to start a small business. When I meet this woman, she talked to me about this NGO, and I read more about them, and they gave me again their volunteers in the first beginning to guide them through the day trips.
Yes.
So when I have my business, I thought it is a beautiful idea to connect the small NGOs to my clients, spending their money to buy gifts for their loved ones, because these women, they work heartily to create this beautiful gift. And I thought it is great connection for my travelers to see these small NGOs, women who are motivated, and to share their time and their money with them.
You also work with the Network Against Female Genital Mutilation, and I was wondering, how did that begin for you as well?
So with NAFGAM, I found NAFGAM via a mutual friend, and I was interested because everything really I do, it is relevant to my life. And NAFGAM, they have a group of young girls who stopped going maybe to school because of early child marriage, or they have undergo mutilation, and they're giving them education. And me, I have no difference with them. My difference is I got chances and I studied. And today I am who I am, proud of my life, knowing my values. And I believe in education. And these people are taking these girls who from a village like my village, they got, they're taking them to education, like to study from primary school to high school to university. And I believe one girl with education, she can change her community, because I got education and I am changing the life of my siblings, the life of my neighbors, and the life of Tanzanian women. So I believe in NAFGAM. To support these girls with education is changing the community. That's why I say, Sophie, you can do this. Connect your clients to this NGO, because apart from bringing girls to education, they are educating women who are practicing the female genital mutilation, who are cutting the girls. And yeah. they empower yeah. these women because they did some interview, like, why are you doing this? Of course, it's they say taboos. But if you dig it, more people are doing it because they're getting money. They're getting paid. So this NGO say, okay, now we can empower these women by creating the handmade products like bracelets, handbags, soap. And when they sell this thing, they give them the money and they can run their life to stop FGM. So I really loved it. It touched me, and as how and why am I'm supporting NAFGIM.
I wonder, you've been doing this for some years now, and I wonder if you have an expedition that you went on that is one of your favorite memories. Just an expedition that really made you feel like, wow, I am doing the right thing and I love what I'm doing.
So since from the beginning, I said to know the character, it took a while, but I know my character. Meeting new people, sharing the history and all this is what makes me happy. My career, it is life-changing because I went to one of the village near Serengeti. These young girls, wow, they don't have a role model. And seeing me with the tourists, it made them cry. It made them be part of my life. And I just wanna do this more and more. And not only in my small cycle, I want really going to the remote area and to show them, oh, you see, I'm a girl and I can be a tour guide. And raising the voice, because young girls, they don't have a role model. They don't see their life. It's darkness, especially in the remote areas. So when I went to this village close to Serengeti National Park, it just made me like, Sophie, you can do it and do it bigger.
I love that you have found a way to bring all of the things that make you passionate into one organization. So you love wildlife, you believe in empowering women, you believe in empowering yourself, and you found a way to take all of your values and your dreams and roll them up into one thing. And I think that's so important for our listeners to hear, especially our young women listeners, because I think oftentimes we're told that you have to make a choice. You have to pick one thing that you're passionate about and focus on that, and you let everything else fall to the wayside. You make a sacrifice. But there are ways to create a career that includes everything that you love. And I think, Sophie, you've done that.
Indeed, yes. Indeed, yes. It's a career that makes me believe in why am I living. I'm living a life with a purpose. I'm living a life I enjoy. I'm living a career that I'm living. So it's beautiful, yeah. Like a career that has everything.
Wait, I was going to ask this earlier, but I forgot. Can you tell me about the matriarch elephant and why she is an inspiration to you?
Wow, the matriarch elephant, it is an inspiration for me. One reason, the matriarch is the oldest elephant that lead the group of elephants, like the head of elephant, where to eat, where to go, and where to find maybe water or this danger. And now I come to my society that even in a nature, this is happening. I'm a woman, I can lead, I can guide you, I can make a right decision.
Yeah.
Period. That is why it's a matriarch, the biggest elephant. And I'm not the matriarch. They call me the Manyara matriarch, the Manyara tembo. Like, elephant is a tembo in Tanzania, like in Swahili.
I have to tell you, I'm so excited to be able to see a herd of elephants in real life at some point. And I really hope that I hope that my producer, Caitlin, and I are able to come and visit at some point, because we love wildlife, we love animals, and we passionately believe that empowering women is one of the most important commitments that you can make in the world today. So we just think that matriarch is right. It's like in the center of our hearts. So what I want to know now is, what's the next big step for Matriarch Hill Safari? What are your big dreams for the future? What things do you want to do next?
Okay, next Matriarch Hill Safari, we want to grow big, but not only Sophie. I want to grow big in terms of increasing number of the tourists. As if I have clients, I'm touching so many life of people. Not only me, so I'm working so hard. There are so much people who are looking at me to bring business in, and then they can survive supporting their children, going to school, and providing for them. So the big step for Matriarch is increasing the number of tourists. Then we can grow big, having our own camps instead of Serengeti and employing other women. Like, I really want to have like this camp that I have only women, the matriarch head, and wow, giving the experience.
So if you're listening to this and you're interested in these amazing expeditions and values, then just go to matriarchhillsafari.com to find out more. And if you don't think you're interested, still go to matriarchhillsafari.com, because once you have a look over everything that they do, you will definitely be inspired to go. And I encourage all of our listeners to have a look at the website and learn more about what Sophie does. So Sophie, thank you so much for joining us today. This was really a wonderful conversation.
Thank you so much, Ms. Greca. It was an honor, and thank you for having me in your platform.
Okay, Caitlin, that was our interview for today. And I think that has been one of our happiest guests that we've ever had.
I think so too. And nobody heard this, but as soon as you stopped recording, she was like, okay, now I have some questions for you. And then basically asked you all about drag and what being a drag queen is like. It was just great.
Yeah. She's like, you know, you ask me questions, I have a few questions of my own. So yeah, it was really wonderful. And I'm going to reveal a deep secret that I've been hiding for a long time, that I have this dream of going to Antarctica.
Oh, yes.
And performing at McMurdo Station. But now I have a dream of going on one of the classic safaris with Matriarch Hill Safari, because I think I'd make sure that there was a sofa for you, Caitlin. We'd have a really good time.
We would have a great time, and we love animals. I'd be so happy.
And we could feel good, too, because we would be supporting wildlife preservation, and we would be supporting local women and women everywhere when we did it.
Yeah.
Because feminism.
That's right.
Feminist elephants. Okay, enough about that. It's time for me to say this again. If you liked your time with us today, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. We love reviews. In fact, we love them so much, we're going to read some of our favorite reviews right here at the end of the show. Caitlin, I don't think I've said your name correctly once today.
Nope.
Caitlin, do you have a favorite review this week?
Yes, I do, because you guys have been leaving reviews again. This one is so much yes. Despite enjoying this pod from the beginning, I haven't taken time to review. Is it because the show is so seamless, like a conversation among amazing, high-achieving friends? Well, today, while still lifted up from a good discussion, I want to take the time to recommend this great show with particular interest for artists and other creatives.
Thank you. I love that.
Yeah,
we love that so much.
Seamless conversation.
I know. And you feel like you're leaving lunch with your girlies.
Right, yeah.
You
know? Like just a conversation amongst friends. You know? So
thank you so much for that review. And if you're listening, you could have your review on here too. Just leave one on the podcast app or DM it to us on Instagram, mm-hmm. and we will surely read it here on the show. But Caitlin,
it's time for your favorite part.
It's time. It's time for my favorite part of the show, the credits. Everyone, this podcast was produced by Caitlin Gredham, and then I did it. The cast includes me and also Caitlin, and it is distributed by the amazing Studio 71. So thank you for joining us today. Make sure to tune in next Monday for another exciting episode. And remember, if you ever feel down, all you have to do is look in the mirror and say, "She's a woman!" And I'll be with you. Caitlin, we made it through.
We did.
Even though we're like tired and I have a head cold and
I haven't had any coffee yet.
It's time.
It's time. I've been yawning.
I know.
Throughout the whole morning.
Let's get it. Let's get our coffee.